You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
July 31st, 2020. Anthony Fauci, Dr. Fauci, testifying before a House committee. And he makes this remark. He says that Trump's decision to put up travel bans on flights from China and Europe saved thousands of lives. You're not going to hear that on the mainstream media. I did open up the CNN webpage, and they're showing Fauci testifying too, but the headline is, Fauci explains why Europe contained the virus better. They are going to fight and resist every step of the way. No reference to Fauci's remarks about how the ban helped save lives that Trump put in place. Headline, Fauci explains why Europe contained the virus better. So there, in your face. In the meantime, President Trump says he's teaming up with Dr. Fauci, emphasizing the importance of recovered coronavirus patients to donate their plasma. It might help treat other patients. And, of course, we're still waiting on another stimulus deal. The Republicans have a $1 trillion deal. The Democrats have a $3 trillion. Now, Mitch McConnell, Senate Majority Leader, said the Republican bill must contain legislation to protect businesses from pandemic-related lawsuits as they open. Well, the Trump administration is beginning to look like it's ready to cut a deal with the Democrats that would not include such protection. We're going to see how that battle shapes up between the White House and the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. The Ohio Board of Pharmacy now reversing a rule. It had prohibited the sale and dispensing of hydroxychloroquine in the state of Ohio. Now, I read the story yesterday that it made it look like the governor of Ohio, Mike DeWine, Republican, wanted hydroxychloroquine banned in his state. The copy I had either was poorly written or maybe it was my fault. I read it too fast, didn't read it correctly. But the governor of Ohio did not want the Ohio Board of Pharmacy to deny the sale and dispensing. So he's obviously in agreement with them. Universities and colleges around the country are likely entitled to almost $30 billion in coronavirus relief aid under the HEALS Act. That's the $1 trillion relief bill. And, of course, they get a lot of millions in aid from a previous bill passed by Congress back in March. But keep in mind, they also have extensive endowments and other resources. They should not be getting that money. President Trump stating today, I did not want to change the election. I just warned of a disaster if we continue to have it and want to rely simply on mail-in balloting. He said, I don't want to see it change. And I told you yesterday, the president cannot change the date of the election coming up. That's set in the Constitution. He simply raised a question, do you think we need to? And I told you, watch how the media goes crazy. And they did, a little more rope-a-dope, and they fell for it. Hook, line, and sinker. A new research survey by Change Research and CNBC says Donald Trump has narrowed the gap with Joe Biden in six key battleground states. We are approaching 90 days from the election. Documents unsealed by a court yesterday revealing correspondence between Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, and also alleging that former President Bill Clinton was seen on the private island along with some underage girls. Now, the testimony is in a court-ordered release document by one of the girls who says she was on the island. And she does not say she saw Bill Clinton involved in any sexual activity, just that he was there. Just want to make sure you keep the facts straight. We don't know what's yet to happen. A new poll finds that an overwhelming majority of college Democrats support the removal of statues of America's founding fathers. No surprise there, 73% of Democratic college students say, yeah, take them down. In the meantime, the Virginia Military Institute, VMI, says it will not remove any Confederate statues or rename any buildings, saying we're not going to change anything. Good for them. And Hurricane Isaias is now moving in. Could be felt in Florida tonight. In Hong Kong, the blue-collar workers, they've been told you cannot eat your lunch in the restaurant. You can take it, and you have to go somewhere else. Now, office workers, they can go in their air-conditioned office, but when it comes rain and it's nasty weather, you know where the blue-collar workers are now eating their lunch? They're going into the restrooms, sitting on the toilets, eating their lunch. So is the situation in Hong Kong.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Tom Wellington and his staff at Wellington Environmental have certainly been busy over the last several weeks, making sure businesses and hospitals and nursing homes are clear of COVID-19. As you begin to reopen, try to restart your business, I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. I'll give you a phone number in a moment. They can come in, assess the situation at a very reasonable cost, and make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And even after you're open, if something comes up and you're not sure, you want to contact Wellington Environmental. And not only for COVID-19, for any other threat, mold, any toxic situation. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. In business for 30 years, you know they're doing it right. Be well with Wellington Environmental. I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Larry Connors, USA.
St. Louis County Prosecutor Bob McCulloch lost his election because of Michael Brown losing his life in 2014. Wesley Bell came forward, black man, and said, I will make sure that we get justice on Michael Brown. We will go back into that case because the decision made by the prosecutor's office and even the Justice Department under Eric Holder at the time decided it was a justified shooting. Police officer Darren Wilson. Now, most of you know the storyline, whether or not you know actual facts. The storyline is, of course, that Michael Brown had his hands up saying, don't shoot, when he was shot. Evidence showed that Darren Wilson was inside his patrol car as Michael Brown is reaching in, grabbing and slapping at him, and trying to get his hand on his pistol. There was blood from Michael Brown and DNA and other such items inside the car. And then Michael Brown started away, and so Darren Wilson gets out of the car and tells him to stop. He's just assaulted a police officer. And Darren Wilson's testimony is that Michael Brown started coming back at him, and he was 18 but very big compared to Wilson. And Wilson opened fire and killed him. And obviously it caused a lot of concern in the Ferguson community. St. Louis in general got on the national map because of it. The Michael Brown case went right to the top of police shootings. And questionable because it's a white officer and a black kid who was killed. And civil rights leaders and others pushing for a full investigation. And they did it. And Bob McCulloch, the prosecutor at the time in St. Louis County, said the evidence shows otherwise. It was justified. And as I'll point out again, if there had been any way for the Justice Department, with Obama being president and Eric Holder as Attorney General, if there had been any way to go after a civil rights violation and taking the life of Michael Brown under federal charges, they would have, and they couldn't do it. But again, the narrative swept across the nation, hands up, don't shoot, as if that were the actual fact of the story, and it wasn't. But once it gets out, it's like I've told you before, I've told young journalism students, you got to be careful with every fact. You have a bag filled with 100 feathers. You go outside, you dump that bag and let the wind blow them around. You come back tomorrow and try to find all of them. You might find 99 of them, but the one you don't find is the one that's still out there, and folks are believing and hooking into that storyline and that fact that you misreported. But anyway, Wesley Bell came forward as a politician to challenge Bob McCulloch, longstanding politician, a prosecutor for St. Louis County. And his argument was that he would reopen the investigation into Michael Brown. That was all that was needed. That was enough for Wesley Bell to get elected. Well, yesterday, the St. Louis County prosecutor, Wesley Bell, finally answered the question that he had pushed since his political campaign. Will he charge former Ferguson police officer Darren Wilson in the 2014 shooting death of 18-year-old Michael Brown? The answer is no. And I'm reading a quote attributed to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch by Bell, where he said, quote, "This is one of the most difficult things I've had to do as an elected official. Although this case represents one of the most significant moments in St. Louis history, the question of this office is a simple one. Could we prove beyond a reasonable doubt that when Darren Wilson shot Michael Brown, he committed murder or manslaughter under Missouri law? After an independent and in-depth review of the evidence, we cannot prove that he did. We cannot prove that he did." The Michael Brown family, of course, had pushed for that to be reopened. That was why Bell got elected. And 5 months ago, about 5 months ago, he decided to quietly reopen it and start the process to dig into the story again. Now, in making the statement that we have nothing that we can do to reopen the case, Wesley Bell, St. Louis County prosecutor, also added this remark. Darren Wilson could have handled the situation differently, and if he had, Michael Brown might still be alive. It's always easy to second-guess someone after it's been done. Isn't that correct? And yeah, let's be direct. If Darren Wilson had not fired a bullet, then Michael Brown would not have been dead. Not under the circumstance as described up to that point. If you want to go into supposition again, if Michael Brown had handled the situation differently, he wouldn't be dead. If he had not tried to be reaching inside the police car, leaving evidence showing that he was reaching inside the car, grappling with the officer, hitting him. If he had not done that, Michael Brown probably would not be dead, based on the events of that day. You can always go down that road. But yet what gets me that you still have Bell still saying that just because Darren Wilson was not found guilty of murder or manslaughter, he had not been exonerated. You had a civil rights investigation. It found nothing that could go forward. You just reopened and spent 5 months in your office, and that was going to be your whole purpose, and you couldn't prove otherwise. And to say that just because Wilson was not found guilty of murder or manslaughter, he had not been exonerated. So if you walk out of a court and you're not found guilty, don't be so thinking that, I mean, you know, you're not exonerated. Now, you might think, what? Where's the double jeopardy issue here? Well, they were trying to see what they could find that would be able to put him back on trial and it would not involve direct double jeopardy. Find another way around it. Did Wesley Bell know when he was campaigning on that, using it as a bait to get votes? Did he know that we're really not going to be able to do anything anyway, but I'm going to campaign on that? It was enough to get him elected as the first black prosecutor of St. Louis County and oust a longstanding prosecutor who is a strict law and order man whose own father had been an officer and lost his father. And the bottom line is, whether or not it's a campaign slogan, he did do what he said. He said, we're going to reopen it, and he did. But after 5 months investigating the case's evidence, witness statements, forensic reports, he came to the conclusion, quote, we cannot prove that Darren Wilson committed murder or manslaughter. But if Darren Wilson had handled the situation differently, Michael Brown might still be alive. And that other point, that key point, that even we could not find any evidence to reopen the case to charge him again and see if we could convict him in some other way on murder or manslaughter, just because he's not found guilty of it, he's not exonerated. I know the argument, the black victim, the white officer. We all know that. If Darren Wilson had been a black man and did exactly what we saw happen in this case with Michael Brown, it wouldn't change any of the facts other than he's a black man. And whether or not the officer would have shot, no one could say. Black officers shoot and kill too. And they kill black and white suspects. And there are white officers that obviously do it. And they also kill white suspects. And there are some cases where I'm thinking, why didn't the officer open fire? This case not too long ago in St. Louis where a guy crashes into police cars firing at them. And they chase him down and they don't shoot. I don't know why they didn't light that guy up. Now, some are saying, well, if he'd been a black suspect, they certainly would have. You can suppose that. And, yeah, that might be a fact, but then again, we don't really know, do we? You just can't go crazy with these ideas. Try to stick to the facts. That will make things better for everyone all the way around. In late August, there's going to be an execution, unless there's any other delay. Lesmond Mitchell, Navajo, the only Native American on federal death row scheduled to be executed in late August. He was convicted in the 2001 murder of a Navajo woman and her 9-year-old granddaughter. He's to be executed at Terre Haute, Indiana, at the Federal Correctional Complex, August 26. I need to point this out for you. Tribal officials and even the victim's family oppose the death penalty. Native American tribes for decades have been able to tell federal prosecutors if they want a death sentence considered for certain crimes on their land. Nearly all, including the Navajo Nation, have rejected that option. Mitchell was also convicted of carjacking resulting in a death. That is a possible death sentence no matter where it happens, meaning the tribe had no avenue to object. He's to be put to death the same week as a guy named Keith Dwayne Nelson. I normally don't bother with these guys, these S-bums names, but in this case I'm doing it because I want to tell you what this guy did. He was convicted of kidnapping a 10-year-old girl, rollerblading in front of her home, and raping her in a forest behind a church, then strangling her to death. Earlier this month, three other federal inmates were put to death, all convicted of killing children. They may or may not stop the execution or delay it for this Native American. If it happens, it's going to be a big story for many, especially on the left. And again, I want to point out to you, tribal chiefs and the victim's own family say they're not in favor of it. They're entitled to have that belief. They are directly connected to it. The rest of us are entitled to say, well, the law says, and we're going to go with the law. You know, right now we have, as of July 30th, we've had, I'm trying to get the exact number, not the number of execution, but how many on death row, and the number's not popping up fast enough for me. But we have several hundred still on death row across the nation. The state that puts the most inmates to death a year, no contest. That'd be the Texas. Take a break when we come back. Pro sports and what's happening to pro sports as it's being extorted, and it's never going to be the same again. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Back to the prior segment. I did have a figure in front of me, the list of how many death row inmates are on death row in the U.S. as of January 1, 2020, but it looked wrong. I think there'd been something missing from it. So the count is, as of January 1, 2020, 2,620 death row inmates in the U.S. There have been some executions since and some others placed on death row. The shortened NBA season is underway, and as expected, of course, some of the players deciding, yes, they would wear slogans on the back of their jerseys, taking on a social cause. LeBron James, one of the biggest name currently in NBA, said, I'm not going to. I'm going to wear only my name. But he did join others in a kneeling protest during the national anthem. Now, the NBA, since the 80s, has had a rule that the players have to stand for the national anthem. But this time around, they're bowing to what's happening in the nation and saying, okay, it's all right if you don't want to stand. LeBron James was among those taking a knee at the national anthem, Star Spangled Banner. But then later he also said, I hope we made Cap proud, talking about Colin Kaepernick. And then he also expressed his gratitude for the military. Charles Barkley, not in the NBA anymore, but obviously a Hall of Fame legend, he said, I want to make it clear. He said, if you have a guy that doesn't want to kneel, he should not be vilified. In other words, if folks aren't kneeling, they're not a bad person. Well, I think that's probably critical for some of the players who feel like, I guess I got to kneel because the others are, or they're going to look bad upon me. And all of this, the kneeling and the social justice measures, are against the backdrop of what the NBA has been allowing to happen in China at its training academies. Reports have been coming out expressly on ESPN and others about some of the violence and the abuse taking place for those going to the NBA training academies in China. It's not being reported on CNN or MSNBC. Rolf Wolf Blitzer had a 16-minute interview with the NBA commissioner. And it took place nearly 2 hours after ESPN came out with its report of all these violent treatment of NBA Academy members inside China. Human rights violations. And he didn't ask a single question of the NBA commissioner about that. Not one. One former employee of the academy said, you can't have it both ways. You can't be here earlier promoting Black History Month and then go over in China where they're basically in re-education camps and the people you're partnering with are hitting kids. It's hypocrisy. The National Collegiate Athletic Association, overseeing, of course, all of those under its venue, college sports, never allowing players to do anything that might suggest a political leaning of any type, now says it's going to allow players to use social justice slogans on their jerseys, a commemorative patch for the upcoming 2020 and 21 seasons. The patch can be a, here's a wording, commemorative memorial patch, names, mascots, nicknames, logos, marks, intended to celebrate or memorialize people, events, or other causes. Other causes. Does that mean you can wear I love Christ? I love Jesus? Remember how they would get on Tebow simply for taking his knee in prayer? And now they're saying you can wear all this stuff, and now they're, you, how do you think that's going to go down in the end? We'll take a break, and we'll be joined by James Herson on his view of what's happening in pro sports.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
In the preceding segment, I was telling you what I view as extortion of professional sports, and of course, particularly the NBA as of what's going on, but I've also previously talked about Major League Baseball, also told you about what's happening with the National Collegiate Athletic Association, what it's going to allow, all of this going on, and our next guest, we've had him on numerous times before, New York Times best-selling author, international business attorney, news analyst. He wrote a piece titled, The Day Baseball Died. I want to read two lines from it. He said there was an almost reverent moment that occurred at the top of each baseball game. It was when the national anthem rang out. The whole country would pause, and in those few seconds, we would all be of one heart. Seems so long ago and far away now. James Herson, welcome aboard again, sir.
Great to be with you, Larry.
Well,
yeah, I'd say,
go ahead, sir.
You know, I just find it so sad and so tragic. I grew up in the city of Chicago where we grow up as sports fans. We're sports freaks. And when I was a little kid, I used to take the bus with my friends. I mean, a really little kid. And we'd go to now what is a historic ballpark, Wrigley Field. And we'd watch the Chicago Cubs usually lose.
You made a lot of Cardinals fans happy when you said that. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah. I think the Cards over the years really beat up on the Cubs.
Yeah.
But you know, the fact was there was a reason that this was a special sport. And, I knew that we, over the years we had the problems with the NFL, and I knew the NBA seemed to be owned by Communist China now, and I was so elated that finally we were going to have sports returning. I was just so happy about it.
Particularly baseball, right? Is that what you were
referring to? Well, sure. Yeah. And it's the field of dreams, the boys of summer. It's America's pastime. And so this would be one place where we would not have to have it polluted the way these other sports were, that we would have the tradition that we could sit and relax for a moment away from our everyday troubles, away from the news, and actually eat food that's bad for us and make fun of friends.
Let me break something down. When they had the opening game the other day between Yankee and the Senators, I mean, before the national anthem, the players all knelt and held a black ribbon together, stretched across from one side to the other. During the national anthem, many stayed down. Only one, so well, I take it back, that was a different game, but one did stand. But that was, they did the kneeling. Yeah, when they did it, everybody stood for the national anthem. But prior to the anthem, they did take a knee. And when you look at the screen, they got stenciled MLB on the pitcher's mound. Is that offensive to you at this point, Jim, or is it just the fact of caving in and being extorted, basically?
Well, I mean, first of all, it's the whole feeling of tuning into baseball, then getting hit with a PSA with Morgan Freeman talking about social justice. I mean, all of this stuff, there's nothing wrong with people expressing their political views. And if they want to have BLM, I mean, in Fenway Park, they had a 250-foot sign. This does not belong at a sporting event, and it does not belong in a baseball park.
There will BLM, be there are others that say, yes, it does. It should be put right there.
Well, it does, because this is a catharsis, a release, a special sacred thing. And then, you know, you talk about the part of my article where I'm talking about that special moment, particularly before championship games and opening games. There, that was E Pluribus Unum, basically manifest, that there's this moment where all the players, all the coaches and managers, all the fans and the people watching at home felt a real unity, a sense of purpose, and a sense of love for each other and their country. It's a significant part of America.
Now,
how
many players do you think in pro sports either take a knee or join in because they think, man, I got to play these guys? Now, Charles Barkley came out yesterday and said if people choose not to kneel during the national anthem, they're not a bad person. They should not be vilified. In other words, Barkley standing up for, hey, you've got a right to do what you want. LeBron James not putting a social message on the back of his jersey, but he took a knee. I mean, are some of them too cowering to make their own statement? Go ahead.
If someone had told you 3 years ago that Sir Charles had to come out and defend someone for standing at the national anthem, he has to come out and defend an American for doing what's right. You know, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of people over history who have fought, many who have died in far-flung places so that we can have these freedoms. And when you do a political gesture, and you do this political, which Colin Kaepernick started, that is a slap in the face to all those people. And I mark my words, we saw this happen before in the NFL. Hockey just played their opening game, and they all stood for the anthem. Hockey ratings are going to go through the roof, and baseball is not even going to be able to finish the season because they're gripped with fear over COVID. So, you know, one after another, they're canceling the games. Their ratings are going down.
Let me break
NFL
it.
Ratings are going down. NBA, we saw the half-empty stadiums when Colin Kaepernick polluted the league the last time.
Yeah, there was
so
a turnoff. The NBA doesn't have the kind of support you see with baseball and football up to that point anyway. The other point being, ESPN breaking a story earlier this week about the NBA training academies in China, where those going there are basically being abused and being hit in the face, kicked in the gut, things of this nature. And the NBA is pushing for human rights treatments in the U.S. under Black Lives Matter banner, and yet siding with China that's carrying out gross human abuse against folks going to the NBA academies in China.
There is today slavery in China, for real. And the NBA, which is now virtue signaling with Black Lives Matter, which is, by the way, the BLM organization, has nothing whatsoever to do with African-American lives. It has everything to do with communist and Marxist founding fathers. It has to do with tearing down the American system. And so, you know, I just want to mention this. A lot of people ask me, and probably ask you, why is this happening? Why is it that we see these institutions in America go leftward? Why has the Democratic Party abandoned the principles of Harry Truman and John F. Kennedy? And I'll tell you what my thinking is. It's because of social media. It's because they believe Twitter represents America. They're intimidated by the activists on Twitter, who are a minority, a small minority in this country, but through technology, they make themselves look like a majority.
You know, that's a key point. I agree with you fully. And in fact, I've said the same thing about major corporations, that if they don't show that they're giving to BLM or putting Black Lives Matter on any of their stuff, then they feel like, well, we're going to be criticized and accused. So they're basically being extorted to join in. And what gets me, all the money Black Lives Matter has been raising, I don't see it going back into the black communities to help. They are raising billions of dollars, Jim. It's mainly going, as you know, for political candidates, not helping the communities.
It's going to elect Joe Biden, the avatar, the meat puppet. It's going to elect him, who is, by the way, ironically, incorporated the policies of a guy who's not a Democrat, who's never been a Democrat, Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders is out there saying how wonderful Biden is because he's incorporating all of my ideas, he says. What are those ideas?
I got to give you
basically
30 seconds. I need to give you 30 seconds to decide what you want to cap. Go ahead.
America becomes a non-nation with no borders, no ICE, no police, and lawlessness and release of prisoners from prison, and calling people who loot, riot, beat, steal, and attack property, calling them, quote, peaceful protesters, close quote. That's the Bernie Sanders policies that Joe Biden has accepted.
I agree fully with you. In fact, in the next segment, folks, I'm going to tell you what I think. If Biden wins, the first thing the leftists would do. But that's the next segment. Jim, we always appreciate having you on board and for your insight.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
You bet.
I got my goggles on.
That's all right. I'm glad you did. Thank you, sir. James Herson from Hollywood. Thanks, James. Yeah, we are going to go into this break now, and I still, of course, have that letter I got from Nancy Pelosi I want to share with you. I'm going to open it up and read it. I mean, I'm so excited. I got a letter from Nancy Pelosi. It must be this program, right, you think? I mean, I can't wait to hear what she says say about Larry Connors USA. I'm going to open it in the next segment. We'll share it together. And I'll also tell you, if Biden wins, the first thing the leftists will do. Please stand by.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I am so excited. I got this letter from Nancy Pelosi when I got home yesterday, and I thought I'm going to bring it in here and open it with you listening, and I cannot wait. I mean, Larry Connors USA making head waves and catching attention to Nancy Pelosi. That's what's going on, I guess. I mean, I got this letter. Well, anyway, I'll get to that in a moment. I did mention that what the left would do, the very first thing the left would do if Joe Biden is elected. Of course, Joe Biden's decision on a vice presidential candidate is going to be critical to his race and maybe building enthusiasm. And as he's narrowing the list, CNN is now claiming that Karen Bass is emerging as a key contender, not Kamala Harris, who some say has been kind of operating the background, trying to destroy anyone else that might be possible. And even Senator Duckworth has been mentioned that that may not happen either. But now they're saying Karen Bass. You know who Karen Bass is? She's a 66-year-old chair of the Congressional Black Caucus. And lately she's getting more attention than Kamala Harris. Susan Rice, Obama's former national security advisor, also apparently right up in the top of the running. But now maybe it's going to be Karen Bass, California congresswoman. Well, if he wins, boy, I don't like saying it, but if he wins, the very first thing the left will do is get rid of him. That'll be their first action. Get the man out of there. We got the Trojan horse in here. Get him out of the way. Now, I'm not going to say they're going to take him out that way. But they might mislead him saying, oh, we're going to go on a little trip to Camp David, and they put him somewhere down below Potosi for a while. Maybe in one of the mines out Bonterre or something. He won't know. And then they will have the VP. So this election is not so much about Biden, but the VP. And they're going to, for all of his effort, Joe, for all of his effort to be on the left and court all that left vote, the Sanders vote, they don't buy him fully yet either. One of the former Bernie Sanders campaign workers said the other day, saying, dealing with taking him in place of Bernie is like eating a bowl full of fish s, you know, fish droppings. You only eat half of it, but you still got to eat half of it. So they're not in favor, though. The first thing, get rid of him. That's what the left will do. All right, here. I can't waste any more time. Right to this letter. Nancy Pelosi, I got home. Let me open this thing up. Yeah, bear with me. Oh, there it is written. Larry Connors. And now, oh, by the way, on the envelope, Larry, I won't back down. Are you with me? Oh, what, she want me to do something with it? Let me see. Let me open this thing up. I cannot believe I got this thing from Nancy Pelosi. I mean, I guess she's listening to the program. What do you think? Okay, it begins. Oh, you know what? Something happened here. It says to Larry on the front, but there's something at the some. I guess I need to let Nancy know somebody put a form letter in here that says, Dear Friend. You mean Dear Larry, don't you? I mean, and it goes, oh, he's talking about how tough the job of the speaker is, and said, I've had tougher ones raising 5 kids born in 6 years. Okay, I can appreciate the mom doing that and saying, we have DCC battle stations ready to go, Democrat Congressional Campaign Committee battle stations. Oh, she wants me to go to war with her. Let me see, and they're looking for getting these open, and let me see, what else she's got, something here really special for me. Kind of opening Cracker Jacks. Maybe open Cracker. Look for the prize, and now the prizes are nothing. I mean, remember you used to get the little thing that had the clown's face, and you get the little balls, and they're trying to roll them around, get them on the eyes, and without. Well, I don't find any gift in here. I don't find any prize at all. Wait a minute. What? Oh, there's a survey here. There's an official Democrat unity survey. Oh, and it does say if you send any money that other Democrats will help match it. Wait, is this a fundraiser letter? What is this thing? I thought it was from me, and it does say that if I give 15, it'll become 30 automatic. I guess that's Democrat math, I guess. Or that's just the other people putting it. Oh, here. Oh, what issues we think we should be concerned about? Okay, I'm looking for issues that would concern me. Fighting climate change, man. Defending a woman's right to choose, man, pass on, reduce gun violence. Yeah, I'm in favor, but that doesn't mean taking guns away, does it? Otherwise, I'm not for you. I don't see anything here about stopping violence in the streets. Oh, but here's a place where I can open up this. Here's it. Let me get type this in real quick. There's a website I can go to, and I can donate. Oh, come on. You know, she sent me a letter. I'm going to be at least nice. Let me see. I'm going to put this and right there. I'm going to use a MasterCard to pull it out of my wallet here. 5287. I shouldn't read the numbers loud. Let me finish. Okay, good. Okay, push send. All right. $25. Let's see what happens. It's pending. It's, you know, doing the thing, saying pending, pending. Whoops. An alert showed up from my credit card company. It says, you're making a purchase we've never seen authorized before. Are you sure this is you? Do you want to make this purchase, this donation? This is contrary to anything you've ever done before in your life. They're going to reject it unless I say it's okay. I'm thinking, you know, to heck with it. That letter wasn't to me personally. I was all excited. Just like you open Christmas, it's not what you wanted. But this isn't anywhere near. Did you get one? Did you get a letter from Nancy? You don't need to open it now. I already told you what's in it. Well, maybe yours is different. Hey, thanks for listening. Weekend is here. We'll be back Monday. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.